Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson that you heard before from Luke chapter 17. We hear again, starting at verse 15, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan." This is God's word. Have you ever tried to teach a child to say thank you when receiving a gift? It takes determination, doesn't it? The reason being, from the time we are small, we tend to focus on the gift. If you've ever given a child a gift, you know that there are a variety of reactions that you can get. A child might open a present and say with transparent honesty, "I hate this." Or you may have seen a child unwrap something, look at it blankly, and set it aside in order to search for something a little more to their liking. In either case, a thank you is probably not forthcoming. But what if you hit the right combination and the gift is something delightful to the child? Chances are, once they receive it, they race off with it to put it to immediate use. They're enraptured. They can't wait to play. And if you're lucky, you may get an over-the-shoulder thank you as they run into the next room, which doesn't exactly translate into a meaningful expression of gratitude. This isn't to say that children are horrible. They're just more candid than adults. Truth is, grown-ups can be just as bad at thank yous and just as fixated on the gift. Jesus found this out when he healed the lepers in today's gospel lesson from the 17th chapter of Luke. He was quite literally pushing the boundary by traveling the border between clean Galilee and unclean Samaria. And this is a very Jesus-y thing to do. To go where, quote unquote, good people shouldn't, for the sake of changing lives. And there couldn't be much bigger of a change than the one those lepers experienced. Their skin disease made them socially unacceptable. They were cast out of home, cast out of occupation, forced to merely exist on the outskirts of town. The conventional religious wisdom of the day would have held that they must have done something to deserve this. There must be some way in which they were getting their comeuppance for some sinful behavior. Therefore, shunning them was completely justified. And here comes Jesus, who does not shun, who does not shy away, and who, with a few spoken words, removes this curse from their bodies. Now, this is not less than a physical healing, but it is also far more. Because it means that once this miracle has been verified by a priest, they get their old lives back. They get to become family members again in a home of their own. They get to go back to work. They get to become full participating members of the community again, and no one is going to look down their noses at them anymore. Pure gift. Jesus was the giver of this gift, and don't you wonder what he thought? Only one person. And that one person from the wrong side of the tracks, from Samaria, no less, returned to say thank you. One praised God and bowed at Jesus' feet. 10% of the group. By the way, this gospel lesson has become a staple of most Thanksgiving services that you will ever go to, and you can see why. 9 of the healed lepers were like kids who got the one thing on their wish list that they wanted most. They rush off to enjoy what they had been given. One returns to say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you. Seems to be the theme. And on Thanksgiving Eve, you go home, and the next day, you enjoy your turkey and the football, and you get ready to go shopping, and it works. But let's dig just a little deeper today. Now, full disclosure, this is going to get a little uncomfortable, but it's worth it. So hang with me here. Now, yes, this text is a reminder to say thank you, but why? Why would you not just take your gift and run with it? I mean, God wanted these people to be healed and have their lives restored to them. Why not just go enjoy it? As far as our lives go, what's the value in thankfulness? We know where the good stuff comes from, right? I mean, I might take credit for some of the things once in a while. That's my bad. But why go through this thanking and praising and thanking and praising God all the time? Because thankfulness is a barometer of your love for God. Thankfulness is a way of measuring the intensity of your desire for a relationship with Him. And there it is. There's the why. There is a giver behind all of our gifts who wants us to notice Him. The giver of all our gifts would love nothing more than for us to look up from our gifts to see His face. To see the smile of love that He has for us. To wonder, what makes Him tick? He wants a relationship with you. That's why He's giving the gifts. This incident from Luke's gospel of one returning to say thank you to Jesus enables me to ask you this question. Do you primarily go to God to get things or to get Him? Do you seek His hand, which holds something you want, or do you seek His face just to get to know Him better? Do you get it? One is a transaction. What do I have to do to get what I want? The other is relationship. I want to know this God better and why He is so gracious and so generous. I told you this was going to get uncomfortable. The majority of the time, why do you knock on God's door? To get stuff or to get Him? The gifts or the giver? Do you realize that every single gift that God has ever given you, right down to the last little, most random seeming chance happening, was meant to catch your heart and grab your attention and get you thinking about Him? All of it, every bit of it, has been His love letter to you. He gives to you to draw you in hopes that you will come to love Him just for Himself. So do you. Can you say to God, I love you just for who you are, not for what you give me? You know why that's important, right? Imagine you've just gotten married and your young spouse comes to you and says, honey, why do you love me? Why did you marry me? And you say, well, first of all, there are a couple of major business relationships I got into through you. A couple incredible deals happened because you opened doors for me. And I did some research. You have a very wealthy uncle who adores you, has no children, and he's old and sick. You would expect to hear, wait a minute, you don't love me for me, you love me for what I do for you. The one healed man who came back to Jesus loved what he had been given, but he wanted to know the giver more. And he knew enough to adore Jesus. He fell down at his feet. That's an act of worship. And this is the relationship that has the potential to reshape your heart. When a love for God, just for who He is in Jesus, takes over your heart, it replaces the things you're trying to get acceptance from. And that's what it takes. But how do you get there? It only happens when you experience God's love as grace, as undeserved love, as unexpected love. After all that I have done wrong, after all my chasing after things, after all the hurt that I have caused, Lord, why are you still with me? Why are you still blessing me? Why do you still love me, Father, in spite of my sin? We have the resources to answer those questions. We have a God in Jesus who, when He showed up in the world, did not hesitate to go to the unclean places to find the unclean people for the purpose of cleansing them. He made the lepers whole. He made the blind see, the lame walk, the silent mouths shout, the deaf hear, the demon-possessed free. He put them in their right mind, and look at how He did it. It wasn't abracadabra and wave the wand and poof, you're healed. Jesus came in and took all the sickness into Himself. He absorbed it. And He carried it, all the darkness, all the disease, to the cross. Jesus put this massive burden of sin on His shoulder and treated it like it was His own. And it died with Him on the cross that day outside Jerusalem. So, God the Father holds nothing against you. How could he? His son paid for it all. And that's grace. Don't you want to know the one who would do something like that for you? If you have any gratitude in your heart for that, that's what's going to make God not just useful to you, but beautiful to you. That's what's going to make you go to Jesus just to get Jesus. That's what's going to make your stewardship of His gifts a joyful act of praise, an act of worship. Let's fall at Jesus' feet today saying, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. But I love you just for who you are." Turns out, the giver is the greatest gift of all. Would you please pray with me? Enabling Spirit, gift of gifts, empower me, stir up my faith, make me an instrument of grace, of mercy, blessing, peace, and joy. Let me not miss another day in seeing what your gifts can do. Giver of every perfect gift. Amen.